जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना। यमुना तीरावन चारी तीरा। यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजना। यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। श्री श्री किशोर किशोरी की, श्री श्री गौर निताय की, श्री जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रवाणी की, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवताम की ताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। शिण्वता स्वकता कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवण कीर्तना। हृदयंतस्तोय भद्राणी विदुनोति सुहुस्सता। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल्ड द पास्ट टाइम चाइल्डहुड पास्ट टाइम्स ऑफ कृष्णा। The verse we are reading is text 18. धूलि दुसार तंगस त्वं पुत्रा मज्जनम आवह जन्मर्कशम ते अद्या भवति विप्रेभ्यो देहि गा सुचि धूलि दुस्सर्तंगस्त्वं पुत्रमज्जनम आवह जन्मार्क्षं ते अद्य भवति विप्रेभ्यो देहि गा सुचि धूलि दुस्सर्तंगस्त्वं पुत्रमज्जनमावह जन्माक्षं ते अद्य भवति विप्रेभ्यो देहि गा सुचि धूलि दुस्सर्तंगस्त्वं पुत्रमज्जनमावह जन्मार्क्षं ते अद्य भवति विप्रेभ्यो देहि गा सुचि Matajis. Dhuli dusart sarita angatvam. You have become covered with dust and sand all over your body. Putra, my dear son, Majjanam Avaha. Now come here, take your bath and cleanse yourself. Janma Raksham, the auspicious star of your birth. Te, of you. Adaya, today, Bhavati, it is, Viprebhya, unto the pure Brahmanas, Dehi, given charity, Ga, cows, Suchi, being purified. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Mother Yashoda further told Krishna, my dear son, because of playing all day, your body has become covered with dust and sand. Therefore, come back, take your bath and cleanse yourself. Today the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, be pure and give cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Purport. It is a custom of Vedic culture that whenever there is an auspicious ceremony, one should give valuable cows in charity to the Brahmanas. Therefore, Mother Yashoda requested Krishna, instead of being enthusiastic in playing, now please come and be enthusiastic in charity. Yajna dana tapa karma na tyajyam karyam eva tat. As advised in Bhagavad Gita 18.5, sacrifice charity and austerity should never be given up. Yagya danam tapaschaiva pavanani manishinam. Even if one is very much advanced in spiritual life, one should not give up these three duties. To observe one's birthday ceremony, one should do something in terms of one of these three items. Yagya, dana and tapa, or all of them together. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Mother Yashoda further told Krishna, "My dear son, because of playing all day, your body has become covered with dust and sand. Therefore, come back, take your bath and cleanse yourself. Today the moon is conjoined with the auspicious star of your birth. Therefore, be pure and give cows in charity to the Brahmanas." Hare Krishna. So today we are celebrating the most auspicious occasion of Krishna's appearance in this material world. It's fasting all day, so technically speaking, this is what you should be doing all day. Just hearing, chanting, and engaging in some service of some form. One time, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was celebrating a festival. So he asked his disciples to get together and become very enthusiastic about the festival they are about to celebrate. So the disciples naturally inquired, "What are we supposed to do today?" They said, "First we will gather, chant the holy names for some time." And then they said, what happens after that? "After that we'll do some Harikatha." And they said, "Okay, after Harikatha what?" "We'll do some more chanting." And they said, "Okay, after more chanting what?" "More Harikatha." So the disciples were getting a little anxious because they were hoping for the main feast. So then he said, "Okay, what happens after more Harikatha?" "Then we'll fast all day." So when we observe festivities, although there is this aspect of celebration involved in any festivities, our acharyas give more emphasis to performing in some shape or form some sacrifice. This is a time where we have to reflect not only on the auspicious occasion, but at the same time it gives us an opportunity to introspect on how we are taking this festivity in our life. Usually majority of the time we have observed when the festivities, as the festivity gets nearer and nearer, we are very enthusiastic and there's a lot goes on. Right? Like yesterday in the evening there was so much of in the basement there were devotees were gathered to, you know, garland, flowers, all kinds. There's so much of enthusiasm. And as the day goes by today, you have to ask somebody during midnight. You know, as the day gets closer towards the end of the festivities, we just want to get over with it. Where is the feast? Let me lie down. Our acharyas explain that especially this Janmashtami festival, we have to see the spirit in which Krishna appeared and how his devotees welcomed Krishna in their life. So I would like to briefly speak on this aspect this morning. We know how from Krishna book and from Srimad Bhagavatam how the announcement was made that the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudev will be the cause of death for Kamsa. And we understand that how Kamsa was so anxious, not out of happiness but out of fear. Every moment he was in anxiety that this eighth child of Devaki is going to be the cause of my death. It is explained that Devaki, the amount of sacrifice she had to perform to beget Krishna. Now most of us, although we are celebrating Krishna's appearance today, we have to understand, has Krishna really appeared in our lives? This is a very crucial aspect of our devotional service. To introspect, to see, has Krishna appeared in my life? Because if you see Devaki's life, Devaki had to go through so much of pain before Krishna, she was able to welcome Krishna in her life. Her six small innocent children were killed right in front of her eyes. And interestingly, when Krishna appeared, she hardly got Krishna to see for a moment. As soon as Krishna was born, he told Vasudev that you please take me to Nandagram. Now, how do we understand this pastime, or how should we reflect this particular aspect of devotion where the Lord is inspiring us to do something, but then in the end things don't happen the way we want? That is Krishna consciousness. The entire episode of Krishna's appearance, right? It starts with a problem. Mother Earth, she takes the form of a cow and she approaches Lord Brahma, expressing a problem. I have a problem, you please help resolve this. And Brahma, through his meditation, he approached Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu gives him assurance that I'm going to come and then I'm going to take care of all the problems. Now if you see in our own lives, most of us who have come to Krishna consciousness, if you are jigyasu, you are very rare, I should say. Krishna says, Chaturvidha bhajante mam, jana sukurtino arjuna, artho, artharti, jigyasu, jnani cha bharatarshava. Artho means somebody who comes to Krishna out of distress. And 95 to 99% of the people who come to Krishna is because of this. Some problem, we have some issues in our life, and some devotee met at the right time and here, we're with Krishna. And then as soon as we start our devotional service, we keep repeating our problems in front of Krishna. So Mother Cow, she had a problem, she approached Brahma, and she got the assurance from Brahma that Krishna is going to come. And interestingly enough, even after Krishna came, problems didn't get reduced. In fact, problems only increased. One demon after the other, Kamsa was sending to Vrindavan. So sometimes we devotees have a wrong notion that after we come to Krishna consciousness, all of a sudden the whole material energy will transform in such a way where everything will become happy and jolly. And sometimes we quote the verse, Krishna says, Su sukham kartum avyayam. But where is su sukham? It is su dukham. Sometimes you see devotee's face, you wonder, is he really happy or is he miserable? Devotees are ecstatic when they are in the kirtan dancing. But outside of that, if you have to really observe, there is something going on. Sometimes we call them spaced out. They live in a different space. And then you wonder, in that space, is Krishna there? So we have this wrong notion that the material nature will get transformed just because I have a kanti mala, I have a bead bag, and I am worshipping Krishna. All of a sudden things will change for me. That is not right. And Krishna proved it. You are welcoming me, wonderful, but it comes with a package. Putana, Trinavarta, so many demons, one after the other. So there is a beautiful verse in Bhagavad Gita which explains the sum and substance of material energy, of material nature. If we can understand this verse, then we can have realistic expectation while practicing Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we are practicing Krishna consciousness with this hope that someday the weather will become nice and warm. Someday my back that is hurting, it will be normal. So Krishna explains in the second chapter, 14th verse, he says, Matra sparshastu kaunteya shita ushna sukha dukkhada agama apayino anityas tam titikshastu bharata. This is the essence of how a devotee should live in life. Krishna explains that the so-called pain, pleasure of this world is like the changing of seasons. And what we should do? Tam titikshasva bharata. Titikshasva means tolerate it. So Krishna is giving us a formula that this problems will be there. The weather will not be the way you want. But tam titikshasva bharata. We have to learn to tolerate. And what basically Krishna means that we have to transcend the so-called dualities of material existence. Material nature is already programmed by Krishna. This is how material nature is going to be. So what does Krishna consciousness teaches us? It teaches us two things. One is to understand what material life is, what material nature is. And second thing is, learn to take shelter of Krishna. Just imagine for a moment, if there are no problems in your life. Again, this is a hypothetical situation, by the way. There are no problems in your life. How much intensity you will have towards practicing Krishna consciousness? When you are offering prayers to Krishna, how much intensity you will have in your prayers when you are offering to Krishna? You see, study the prayers of great devotees. That prayers have so much of intensity and depth because they have realized that they are in a very terrible situation, and the only way out of the situation is when they take shelter of Krishna. So Krishna's appearance in this world is to teach us this principle, that the material world is dukkhayam, but the way to transcend is you take shelter of me. And that is the reason we chant the holy names. We chant the holy names, we do the worship, we do our sadhana. It's just for this purpose. That Krishna, please allow me to take shelter of your deities, of this process of devotional service. And every time we have a problem, that is an opportunity for us to take shelter of Krishna. And that is why Kunti Maharani is saying, she is praying, let vipada, let calamities come upon me again and again. Why? Because when there is calamities, I can remember you, Krishna. What a beautiful verse. So when we read the scriptures, when we understand these teachings, we can have some realistic expectations from this process. And that is the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is there to enlighten us about this principle. That don't try to change or manipulate material energy. We cannot. Taivyesha gunamai, Krishna says. Mama maya duratyaya. But mam eva prapadyante. One who surrenders unto me, maya me, they can easily transcend the material nature. So today is that day when we are celebrating Janmashtami. This is what it means. That Krishna has appeared to relieve me from Janma Mrutyu Jara Vyadi.
Krishna has come to relieve me from this distress. And if I am becoming conscious of this, that Krishna has come to rescue me, then what I am supposed to do? I am supposed to take shelter of Krishna. And one amazing way we take shelter of Krishna is through the holy name and through Krishna's service. Krishna's service is not a chore, something we have to get done with. When we take shelter of that service, it is an acknowledgement that Krishna, yes, I need this so I can be saved. So that is the principle behind observing Janmashtami or any festival for that matter. To understand that this Krishna or any of the great souls, when they appear in this world, they come for this purpose to remind us the futility of this material existence. And we have the right expectations. And these pastimes of the Lord is just to give us some relief. When we hear these beautiful pastimes, we can get some relief from the so-called heat of the material existence. So we will discuss about Krishna's appearance today with this background. In Nanda Maharaj's courtyard, there were two poets, Snigdha Kanta and Madhu Kanta. So these poets, every day, they used to recite the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. So one day, they went to Nanda Maharaj's courtyard and they started narrating the appearance of Krishna. How Krishna actually appeared in this world. So Madhu Kanta, he starts narrating this pastime. That one time, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they were bereft of a child. They tried for many years and then there was no child born. So Mother Yashoda was so besides herself, she couldn't tolerate the fact that she can't have a child. So one day she approached Nanda Maharaj and she said, I have a thought. I have not observed this Dwadashi Paramavrata. If I observe this Dwadashi Paramavrata for 1 year, maybe the Supreme Lord Hari will be pleased with me and give me the benediction of a child. So Nanda Maharaj became very happy. Said, yes, yes, we should do this. So they called the priest. And the priest explained the procedure. So for 1 year, Mother Yashoda, she observed this vrata just to beget a son, or I should say a child. So as the year was getting completed, she was realizing, both Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were realizing that, you know, this vrata, is it working or not? So just when they were thinking like this, a brahmacharini appeared in their midst. And she was very effulgent. She appeared, and as soon as Nanda Maharaj and the Brajvasis and the Madhu Yashodas, when they saw her, they became very happy. So they invited her to their house. As soon as she came close to Mother Yashoda, she understood Mother Yashoda's distress. So she actually took Mother Yashoda in her lap and consoled her. Said, don't worry. You observed this fast, this vrata, with so much faith and determination. Very soon, you will be blessed with a child. All the Brajvasis around became very ecstatic and very happy with hearing this news that Yashoda Rani is going to be giving a birth to a child very soon. And as soon as the yogini or this brahmacharini, she left, it is explained that one night Nanda Maharaj had a dream. And in that dream, he saw Lord Hari transform himself into a small child. And he saw that this child who had a bluish complexion was floating in the air. Along with him, there was another child. It was a daughter, it was a she. And she had a golden complexion. And Nanda Maharaj is observing all this. This is all happening in his dream. And right when he saw that, these two personalities entered his heart. They entered his heart, and from his heart, they entered the womb of Mother Yashoda. And this is how she became pregnant. And naturally, everybody got to know about this news, and everybody was so happy that finally Mother Yashoda is pregnant. They're going to have a child. All the Brajavasis, they became so happy and so joyful with this news. So then, as soon as this happened, after 8 months, the time for delivery came. An astrologer came, an astrologer made a chart and said, okay, such and such day, you will give birth to this child. Interestingly, she was carrying twins. She had two child in her womb. So on the day of Ashtami, that which is today, Mother Yashoda gave birth to Krishna and a daughter. Right at that time, in Mathura, this story comes in Srimad Bhagavatam, that how, after Lord Balaram was transferred from the womb of Mother Devaki to Rohini, the eighth child, it is explained, Srimad Bhagavatam explains that how Lord Narayan in his forearm form came in front of Mother Devaki and Vasudev and explained the whole plan and gave them realization about their previous life. That how in a previous life you are such and such and you did so much of austerity, and here I have come here to bestow my blessings. And immediately transformed himself into a small baby. Now here comes the interesting part. Narayan in this form gives specific instruction to Vasudev. He said, you please take me to Gokul and you exchange me to the child that Mother Yashoda has given birth to. Now our acharyas give a little interesting purport to this whole episode. Now, a conditioned soul, when he or she is asked to do something, there is a lot of questions, right? Because we are all intelligent beings, right? As soon as some service is given to us, we will have so many questions. Why this? Why that? Right? So, Vasudev also, if he was acting like you and me, he could have asked the same thing. He said, okay, you see, I am shackled. The doors are closed. So how all these things are going to happen? How I'm going to be, the shackles are going to be removed, how the prison door is going to open? And can you give me the map of Mathura? How do I go to Gokul? Now all these questions would have come in his mind. Now because he was a surrendered soul, not that he was not intelligent, he understood that here the Lord is telling me to do this. So that means the Lord has already plans of how this service is going to get executed. So when we get services from our superiors, from our spiritual masters, as soon as with the instruction, Srila Prabhupada said, with the instruction comes the empowerment. Krishna gives us, if you are sincere, Krishna gives you enough intelligence to execute that service. As long as you have the faith. In our society, right? When Srila Prabhupada asked some of his disciples to go to England and preach, they had the same dilemma. And Shyamasundarpu, one of his disciples, he mentioned this, that when Srila Prabhupada told them, in the same mood of Vasudev, they never thought how this service is going to happen. You know, where the money is going to come for the ticket, And we don't know anybody in London. So all these questions were coming in their mind. But they just accepted, this is what Srila Prabhupada wants. It's going to happen. And we see what wonderful, wonderful things came out from these six devotees who went to London and preached, and rest is history. So this mood of surrender is not something easily we can obtain. It comes for us in our life, it comes through sincerely following the Shastras, chanting the holy name, and associated with like-minded devotees. So Vasudev, as soon as he heard these instructions, he just took the baby, put him in a little basket, and he started carrying. And as soon as he started moving out of the prison, the doors opened. And it is explained, as soon as he came out, he saw the Yamuna. There was thunderstorm, there was rain. The Yamuna was overflowing. And for a minute, it is explained that for a minute he thought, oh, now how am I going to cross this ocean? I mean, this river, it's overflowing. Because in Krishna says, small baby. So just at that time, it is explained that there was a she-jackal. It was actually explained that it was none other than Mahamaya. Krishna's Mahamaya energy. She took the form of the she-jackal and showed way to Vasudev. So she started moving in the direction of Yamuna River, and then Vasudev just started following the she-jackal. Not even thinking for a minute, you know, how am I going to cross this? You know, he just started going, and then finally he reached the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Now there, it is explained that all the Brajbasis, especially, it is explained, Yashoda Mai, she didn't even knew that she had given birth to a child. She was fast asleep by the arrangement of the Lord. And Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev, approached and he exchanged this child. He left Krishna, who came from Devaki there, and took the daughter from there, and he came to the prison house. So now here, Madhukanta stopped. Said, hey, wait a minute. You said that Yashoda gave birth to two child. And now here, Vasudev just took one child. What happened to the other child? So there, Snigdhakanta explains. He said, this is a very confidential truth. It's a great secret. And it is a secret. Don't reveal it to anybody. It is in the scriptures. So it is explained that the child, the son or Krishna who came from Yashoda was also there, but he was invisible to Vasudev. And as soon as Vasudev, he put the baby Krishna there, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur explains that this Krishna that Vasudev brought was actually the expansion of Krishna in the form of the Supreme Lord Shri Narayan. And he merged with the Krishna that came from Yashoda's womb. Not to complicate the whole appearance celebration. We heard something, what is this? This is very systematically explained by Vishwanath Chakra Thakur and Srila Jiva Goswami. That originally Krishna, the original mother of Krishna, is Mother Yashoda. That is what we have heard. But then we also hear this Devaki Nandan. But the son that, the child that Devaki gave birth to was Krishna, but it was Krishna's, one of Krishna's expansion. So that is how Yashoda Mai gave birth to Krishna. So one day, Krishna asked Mother Yashoda a question, an interesting question. He asked her, my dear mother, why do you send the calves to graze? So Yashoda replied, oh, so that they can eat grass. So Krishna asked, but why? No, because if the cows, they eat grass, then they can give milk. So Krishna started thinking, but mother, the grass is green and how is the cow's milk white? So Mother Yashoda told him, it is inconceivable. I don't know. So Krishna said, what do you mean you don't know? So Mother Yashoda said, no, I am also like that cow. So then Krishna said, oh, no wonder your milk is also white. Because you are a cow. So then that evening, Mother Yashoda is putting Krishna to sleep. And she is singing a song. And when she is singing a song, Krishna opens his eyes and says, Mother, what are you singing? Oh, I am singing. Actually, I am glorifying Lord Vishnu. So Krishna asks, who is Lord Vishnu? So Lord Vishnu, he is up there in Shvetadeep. He is sleeping on Anantashesh. So Krishna said, if he is sleeping, then why are you singing? So I am singing because I want you to sleep. So Krishna, it is explained that Krishna was always curious. He used to always ask all these questions to Mother Yashoda. One time, he was in the house of a gopi stealing butter. So he was alone this day. His friend somehow didn't accompany him. So he had one hand in the butter pot. And then suddenly this gopi heard. So she screamed, who's there? So he said, oh, this is Balaram's younger brother. He didn't say Krishna. He said, what are you doing? He said, I am trying to find my lost calf in this pot. I searched everywhere. I couldn't find him. So I am searching here in this pot. He said, if you are searching, that why are you holding on to that butter? He said, I am going deep. This Krishna is telling this to this gopi. He said, I am going deep. But if you are going deep, why you have this butter in your mouth? So Krishna said, you dull-headed gopi, you see any place where I can put this butter? So the best place for this butter is in my mouth. And as soon as I am done, I will somehow find my calf in the pot. So this is how Krishna used to charm the gopis and all the devotees in Braj. There's another time Krishna was caught red-handed while stealing butter. So this time this gopi, her name was Prabhavati Gopi. She caught hold of Krishna and said, today finally after many, many days I have caught you red-handed. And now I am going to take you to Mother Yashoda and I am going to prove to her that it is your son who actually comes to her house and steals all the butter. So he took Krishna by, and Krishna told him, you know, I warn you, please don't take me to Mother Yashoda. So no, I am going to take you to Mother Yashoda today. So he took Krishna by the hand and brought him to Mother Yashoda. He said, see Mother Yashoda, today finally I want to prove this to you, that it is your son who comes to our house and steals all our butter. See, as soon as she turned, she noticed that it was her own son. Krishna had transformed himself into his own son. And Mother Yashoda started laughing. Said, you are talking Krishna, but this is your son. And she started catching her head. So how did this happen? I thought I brought Krishna here. And the son was laughing, giving a nice smile. And she said, oh, I'm sorry, Mother Yashoda, let me go. So she was looking at here and there, and she said, how come this is my son? As soon as they crossed few blocks from Nandarani's house, the child transformed again to Krishna. And Prabhavati Gopi looked at him. Your Krishna, he said, yeah, I told you, I warned you, don't take me to Mother Yashoda. Next time you do this, I'll become your husband. So Krishna, and this pastimes, when we hear these pastimes, if, and there are so many so many such unlimited pastimes that Krishna performed with the devotees. The interesting thing about these pastimes is they not only charm our mind, they make us laugh. Some pastimes are humorous. They churn the emotions within. But because this is in relationship to the Supreme Absolute Truth, what happens is we become purified when we hear these pastimes. So, I think today after starting 9 o'clock, we're going to be reading Krishna book throughout the kirtan. And so, those of us who have services, continue our services. Those of you who don't have services, come here and listen to these pastimes. The idea behind connecting with Krishna, the best way we can connect with Krishna is when we hear about Krishna. And so that this pastimes doesn't become too sentimental for us, Srila Prabhupada gives us his valuable purports. And he extracts the different philosophy, the different essence behind this whole pastime, so that we can, our dull brains can get some understanding about how to approach Krishna. So today, being Janmashtami, there are so many services we have to do. But at the same time, understand that why Krishna appears. Krishna appears, although there is this mood is festivities, mood is celebration. Let us understand that we have to become sober today to see how I can welcome Krishna in my life. We have to do that introspection. When we are chanting the holy name, when we are reading, when we are distributing Krishna's books, Prabhupada's books, all this is for one purpose, is to understand and introspect deeper that how I can welcome Krishna in my life. And when we have this spirit in mind, then every festival becomes ecstatic. Even though we are tired, even though we are exhausted, but what happens? We get the joy and we get the understanding of how and why Krishna comes here. It is for the same, the only purpose why Krishna comes here, so that we can understand his opulence and we can take shelter of his opulence. So although there is distress, although there is pain, although there is agony, it is an opportunity for us to take shelter of Krishna. Right? Srila Prabhupada explains how we should chant the holy name. Srila Prabhupada says, when we chant the holy name, it should be like the baby crying for his mother. And is that how our chanting is every day? Most of the time, we do take the form of a baby, but we fall asleep. Rather than calling out with intensity. Right? Krishna says, ye yata mam prapadyante. To the degree, with the intensity we approach Krishna, to that degree Krishna reciprocates with us. And if we understand this principle, then there will be intensity in every aspect of devotional service. Whether it's reading Srimad Bhagavatam, while chanting, while doing service, the enthusiasm will be there. Although the body may not cooperate with us, but still our heart will want to do more and more, because that is for our ultimate benefit. So today let us introspect on this principle, that Krishna has come to remind us the futility of this material existence, and how by the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam we can take shelter of him. And when we take shelter of him, as Kunti Maharani says, I don't have to see the ugly face of birth, old age, death and disease. That is our ultimate goal, at least in our state right now. The ultimate goal is to achieve love for Krishna. But there are various degrees how we approach that aspect of love for Krishna. So let that be our meditation today while we are celebrating Krishna Janmashtami. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments? Nityan Pranpu, any comments? Yes, Baladev, Jai Baladev, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. You were mentioning that Vasudev didn't have the faith in Krishna, even though Krishna said, I had a plan for you. You know, you have to have faith. And you gave the example also of Prabhupada disciples who went to London. They had that faith, so they were successful. So generally in our spiritual life, we equate faith, someone who has faith, with success. But generally we don't equate, you know, someone who has faith with failure, because Krishna says, don't be attached to success or failure. So a lot of times, how do we prevent ourselves from making offenses when we... Failure in the sense that not someone has left Krishna consciousness, but they performed some particular endeavor by, let's say, Prabhupada, but they weren't successful. So we may commit the offense of they didn't have enough faith. So how do we prevent ourselves from, you know, just seeing external results, you know, and equating that with, you know, faith or lack of faith?
When it comes to success or failure, right, Krishna says that we should not be attached to the fruits of our activities. Now, to answer your question specifically, now, when Vasudev, if you take Vasudev's situation, now Vasudev was not thinking whether he's going to be successful or whether it's going to be failure. He had only one purpose: how I should execute the will of Krishna. And Krishna asked me that I should take him to Gokul. Right? So usually what happens with us is when we take a project or when we endeavor for something, we endeavor with the sole purpose that I want to be successful in this. Right? So when failure comes, oh, Krishna didn't help me here. Krishna didn't help you because Krishna didn't want you to become attached to success. That's what happens for a conditioned soul. If Krishna allows us to be successful, we become so conditioned to that success. So when failure comes, as soon as we get a failure, the first finger goes on him. So what happened? Right? You helped me every time. What happened today? So it is for our benefit. Right? Our purpose is not why me, Krishna. Right? Why me? Our question that we should ask is how? How can I do this seva for you? So whether it is success or failure, you will feel that satisfaction in your heart that I did this for Krishna. Right? Sometimes there are many projects within our temple here also. I mean, we have some ambitions, we want to do certain things. That, like, we wanted that firehouse so badly. And you should have seen the effort that went through that to get that firehouse. So much effort. So many presentations, meeting so many people and going to meetings and, you know, presenting it. Why? We wanted for Krishna. But at the end, we didn't get, you didn't see our president Moreau sitting there, what happened? I didn't get this project. I didn't get this place. He was as blissful before. Why? He had only one answer. Krishna didn't want us to get it. That is how a devotee sees failures or success. If Krishna wanted it, Krishna would have made things easy. Or if Krishna wanted, Krishna would have made things difficult for us. But the end of the day, we see it is Krishna's will. I want something, but if Krishna doesn't want me to get that, then it's fine. And that is how we keep progressing in devotional service, a day at a time. Right? Difficulties come, adversities come, we want so many things. Sometimes we always wonder why Krishna makes things difficult for his devotees. There are so many projects are struggling, you know, lack of funds and so many different reasons. So a question may come, we are doing this for Krishna. So why doesn't Krishna give us that success? Why does Krishna have to make things so difficult for us? Prabhupada once explained, Krishna wants you to work hard. If things were very easy, just imagine if somebody comes here and, okay, here's my inheritance, $50 million. Can you imagine what will happen to all the temple devotees here? Where will be the intensity? Where will be the drive to do more and more for Krishna? We have enough in the bank, so why work hard? Now every festival, we have to go to so much of planning, so much of struggle, fundraising, this and that. Why? It's for Krishna. But that is how Krishna wants us to do things for him. And there are examples too, where things have come very easily. But Krishna knows who to give that easy success, and Krishna knows who to give that difficult success. At the end of the day, Krishna knows what is best for us. Whether it's failure or success, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we should see, this is what Krishna wants from me. I'll work hard. I'll do it. I don't get things the way I want. Let it happen the way Krishna wants. And that is what, if we have this spirit, if we have this motive, and if this we have this mood, then our advancement in Krishna consciousness is nice and steady and consistent. So we have to understand, we have to read the Shastras, we have to see these examples. There are some examples right in front of us. Because that was a very interesting thing that affected, or I should say, touched me. Because I was discussing this once with Murari Chaitanya Prabhu. And I said, I was kind of going back and forth. And I said, we should ask devotees to pray that we get this facility, because it will be so good for all our devotees. And there's, you know, Prabhu had so many wonderful plans. So he said one sentence. And I based this answer from that one sentence that Murari Chaitanya shared with me. And I was so, I was getting excited. I said, why Krishna should do any? He said, if Krishna doesn't want, it is good for us. If Krishna wants, it is still good for us. These were his words. So I started reflecting on that. I said, it makes so much sense. That everything that we get in Krishna consciousness, every achievement or every endeavor that we do in Krishna consciousness, it is for Krishna's purpose. So whether we get it or we don't get it, we should think, I had an opportunity to do some seva for Krishna. Because that seva purifies us. That is how we should see things. Make sense? Yes, Prabhu. Yeah.
Hare Krishna. We were having a discussion in the van just last week. We were saying that you have five relationships you can have with Krishna. One, being like Mother Yashoda. So how is it that more people can be the mother of Krishna? Would it be more than one Mother Yashoda, or would you be like one of the gopis pretending like, sometimes you get to act like Krishna's mother? Or maybe you can explain.
So let me see if I understood your question. So how is it that Krishna can have more mothers? Because we understand Krishna only has one mother.
Yes.
So Krishna has one mother, that is true, and that is Mother Yashoda. But the mood, right, the rasa that Mother Yashoda shares with Krishna is that of a vatsalya or parental affection. Now, that parental affection can be had by unlimited souls towards Krishna. Right? Nanda Maharaj has that same parental affection. Some of the gopis, some of the elderly gopis, they have the same affection. Right? So when they see Krishna, they have this love more than their own child. Right? Balaram, we were discussing a few weeks ago, that Balaram also, in his mood of an elder brother, he is also very concerned. He shows that vatsalya bhav. So all the elderly gopis in some shape or form, they also act like Krishna's mother. But there is one mother, that is Mother Yashoda. Right? We also understand in the pastime of Putana. When Putana was delivered, she got the position of Krishna's mother in the form of Krishna's nurse in the spiritual world. So that affection is the key. Right? The affection, what you share with Krishna, in what mood. Right? Now Krishna has a best friend. Krishna's best friend is Arjuna. Krishna says, bhaktosi me sakha cheti. That because you are a bhakta, because you are a sakha. Krishna never said this to anybody else. So he shares that friendship with Arjuna. He shares that friendship with Sridhama. Sridhama, one time he heard this news that Krishna had killed Kamsa. So one day Krishna was walking by in the forest of Vrindavan. And he was thinking, I defeat him every day. How is it possible that he actually killed Kamsa? I want to test him today. She goes in Krishna and challenges, Krishna, I heard that you killed Kamsa. Krishna said, yes, that's true. I want to fight with you. She says, okay. And guess what? Sridhama defeated Krishna. And he got convinced, oh, this is my Krishna. I don't know what others are saying about he killed Kamsa, but this is my Krishna. So that same sakhya bhav, you know, that friendship, he's sharing. Now, if he wants, he could have just wink his eye or just, Sridhama would be gone, disappeared. But because he has that mood, he is getting defeated by Sridhama. So, that's why Prabhupada in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, he very systematically explains these five rasas. Right? And when we read about Mother Yashoda, what we get inspired by is the her mood in which she serves Krishna. So yes, there is one mother, but there could be unlimited mothers of Krishna serving in that mood. Does that make sense?
One more question.
Okay.
So you were talking about intensity, chanting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a baby. So when we're chanting our japa, I mean, does this intensity mean loudly? Because, you know, usually japa is soft, and babies, you know, they cry very, they're screaming, they really want something. So how do we chant intensely with like japa?
Now, if you're going to chant very loud, you're going to disturb 10 other devotees near you. Or I should say, you're going to wake 10 devotees around you. But the intensity, the way Srila Prabhupada explained, when we see the child crying, now the child, the only way it could express its feeling is by sound, right? By loudly calling out. Now you and me, how is our intensity should be from our heart. That Krishna, I am suffering. We have to acknowledge this fact. Otherwise that intensity is not going to come. If somehow you think your life is very comfortable and everything is going perfectly well, there is a problem actually. Right? Because when the intensity is not going to come. So intensity is not about calling loudly. The intensity is about from your heart that Krishna, I am really suffering. Please help me. And then you could have the softest of softest chanting, or you could chant loudly. And Prabhupada said that when we chant loudly, we just drive away all the illusions that we have in our consciousness. But be mindful of devotees around you. But the intensity is actually the intensity of the heart. That longing. That Krishna, I am suffering you. Please help me. Right? When we have pain, like, you know, now you are an adult. Have you ever taken an injection? Right? So it doesn't hurt so much. Right? But when they insert it, you know, you get a little pinch. And usually you go, ah, right? But it's because you're an adult, you're not going to scream too loudly, right? But the same thing when a child is given, I mean, the child is going to scream on top of his voice. So that pain, if you experience that pain in your heart, then you could call out for Krishna. Somehow we think that this material world is a comfortable place. And that is the illusion we all live in. Material world is not a comfortable place. Material world is a miserable place. And when we chant the holy name, we are invoking the divine auspiciousness of Krishna in our heart. Because Krishna, every day, Janmashtami is not just today. Janmashtami is every day. Because you are calling, Krishna is appearing in the form of his holy name. To the degree, you have the same intensity like Devaki had to receive Krishna. So when you're chanting Hare Krishna every day, it's Krishna is appearing. The question is, what do you do after he appears? That is the question that we should all think about today. Now he has appeared, now what to do? What are we going to do tomorrow? He's already appeared. Here, Kishore Kishore, like Srila Prabhupada, install these deities. They appeared so many years ago. And devotees are nicely engaged. We are doing so many things for him. The culmination of all our devotional service is in the act of seva. Service. Because in the spiritual world, that's what we're going to do. If you're going to think that I'm going to do something different in the spiritual world, actually, you also have to toil in the spiritual world also. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto especially, you see the endeavors the devotees have done. So let's not be an illusion that we are expecting, let me work hard now and there samadhi. No, there work more hard. Make sense? Yes, but one last question.
Hare Krishna. I guess I've had this question for a while and I've gotten a few different answers. So we understand that you can have Vatsalya Rasa and Goloka Vrindavan, but does this mean that you're having this rasa with, the 16-year-old form of Krishna? Like, is Krishna always 16 in the spiritual world, or are there forms of Krishna as a baby, or do they see him as a baby, or do they just have the mood? Like, how do you reconcile that Krishna is always 16, but, you know, you have the parental rasa, you know?
Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, Krishna is Nava Yovanam. Nava Yovanam means he is ever youthful. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna was 125 years old. Now, 125 year old, you know how it is. Teeth falling apart, you know, grey hair, the whole body wrinkled. But Krishna was ever fresh in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So yes, Krishna doesn't grow old beyond the age of 16. Right? So, when we talk about Vatsalya Bhav, right? So, Krishna grows, but the devotee would want to serve Krishna in that form. Whether it's a baby child, like because even Mother Yashoda, now this information we don't, at least in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the details are not there, right? That when Krishna left Vrindavan to go and take care of his uncle, Kamsa, Krishna never came back to Vrindavan. So, Mother Yashoda saw Krishna only up until certain age and she meditated on that form for the rest of eternity and served Krishna in that form. So, it all depends, again, it all depends on how you want to serve Krishna. But at least in our stage, this is a little warning for us, if I can say that. That in our stage, we should not get too much caught up in these details. We should just understand that Krishna is ever youthful and we want to serve Krishna in the way he appears in front of us. Right here, he appears as Shishi Kishore Kishori in this Archa Vigra form, and we should serve him in that form, in whatever way we can. You know, ultimately at some point, we will have some affection towards a aspect, or you should say a form of Krishna. Or you should say a incarnation of Krishna also. Some devotees, when they see Narasimhadev, they are very ecstatic. They meditate on Narasimha all the time, but when you see Narasimhadev, you know, how can somebody worship Narasimhadev? His nails, his so many hands, 12 hands he's got, and how are you going to embrace him? But in our level, we have to just serve Krishna in the form of his holy name. So this mood about how devotees serve in the different rasas, that can come later. You wanted to add something, Prabhu? Thank you. Grantras Srimad Bhagavatam ki Shri Krishna Janmashtami Mahamahotsav.